talk about the stock a little bit. We can do a little of that too. First of all, the incentive, everybody, as we continue to plow through this five-period incentive program, we have only 2 periods and 1 week left. This is we're in the 4th week of the 3rd period, and so we only have 2 periods left to go. Where are you in terms of getting there on that incentive program? 100 points. A lot of people are reporting in with great business growth in their GPV, and now it's just a matter of accumulating the points. So we're excited about supporting you and getting there, and it's just a matter of, you know, doing a little blitz, making sure you get your hopper going and getting a lot of people, you know, getting your visibility up is first and foremost, because you got to meet a lot of new people if you're going to sign a lot of people up. So that's first and foremost. So get that busy, start doing things that increase your visibility, and then just work through your hopper and get people signed up. So, and you'll get there. And I really am looking forward to Moon Palace again in November, and hope all of you guys are there. We might even put a little blitz together. I was thinking about doing that in June just to help people at last minute to build some confidence and get people moving, and giving us some ideas every week, helpful hints on how to get to the next step and how to sign up 5 people in 1 week. And we're looking at trying to do some blitz language and blitz information on it. How many people? We have a lot of people on the call have already won, too. I've gotten some number of emails from people in my organization. They're just excited as can be. They've already won their first trip, and they're trying to win a second one so they can take their kids. So that's a neat way to do it, too. You can always have a couple positions, win it in your position and win it in your husband's position, and you can take 2 kids with you, 1 for each of the adults going. So there are lots of ways and mechanisms to make this a family vacation. So that's our incentive. And the Denver National, I keep highlighting, that's coming up. That's the weekend of Memorial Day weekend, 27th, 28th, 2005. Make sure to promote and get there. Again, I highlight to everybody, nothing quite motivates people as much as going to a national convention. That's how we take people from the head knowledge to the heart, and they get exposed to a lot of incredible testimonials, incredible information, and that's what guides and leads and directs them. I know the Manifest Convention for my organization was just really gigantic. I think perhaps, my perception, the best convention we've ever had. Incredible amount of heart expressed there that really brought people along in their commitment to build this as a vision and make this their life. And we've seen a lot of people shift to full-time, you know, Manatech businesses out of that Manifest Convention. And of course, the company's growing rapidly from that time forward. So everything's going great there. Hopefully everybody got the first quarter results they published last week and looked absolutely outstanding. Couldn't have been better results. 54% growth rate. I mean, just incredible. 10th quarter in a row where Manatech has shown incredible income growth and sales growth. So continues to be a phenomenal business opportunity for anyone looking at it as a business opportunity. Notwithstanding Barron's, hang on a second, somebody's running up. Blender in my house. I need to shut down the blender so I can talk on the phone. Okay, great. Anyway, notwithstanding the report by Barron's, the company is doing absolutely terrific, off the charts growth and a lot of great things happening. So make sure to get those, download some of those financial reports so that you have them ready and raring to go when you go out and you're meeting with people and discussing Manatech, because you never know when somebody's going to say, is this a business opportunity? Because you want to be prepared to discuss business opportunity. And again, I tell people, if you don't know what to say when you talk about business opportunities, I put out a business CD, why this is the most outstanding business opportunity of the decade, and that one came out about 6 months ago, and I highly recommend, even if you don't end up sharing it with a lot of people, at least listen to it yourself a few times to get the language down so you know how to share it as a business opportunity. Because a lot of you don't sign business builders up because you never share it as a business opportunity to get people to look at it that way. You know, it's really cute when I tell my people, I say, well, you know, everybody wants business builders, but no one wants to share the business opportunity. There's an inconsistency between those two positions. Does everybody agree? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you're out there signing everybody up, and you go, why do I only get consumers all the time? Well, because you always lead with the product, and you never get around to talking to somebody about what an incredible business opportunity this is to build residual income. And I still have yet to find somebody, I don't know about you guys, but is there anyone you've ever come across that did not want residual income? Yeah, okay, good. Exactly. So it's like it's an asset there that everybody wants. So, but you've got to be willing and ready to present it and talk about it. And some of you would just get tongue-tied around it because you just feel uncomfortable with it for many different reasons, whether it's because your check isn't big enough to support it, or you don't want to talk about your results in the business because you haven't gotten to the income level you wanted to get to. Whatever it might be, your limitations, get out of your own way and quit focusing on you and start focusing on what another person can create. You can create it too, but just because you haven't doesn't mean somebody else can't create it. And if they create it underneath you, guess what you're doing? You're creating it for yourself, right? If you can find a business builder who totally believes in himself and can create that income flow, trust me, once they're underneath you and they develop into an executive or presidential, look what happens to your organization. So that's exactly the kind of person that you want to find, and it's exactly the kind of person you want to support to get to that kind of growth. So, but again, you have to present it as a business, and never a better time when you're looking at 10 consecutive quarters. I don't know any other company on Wall Street that can report those kind of earnings over the last 10 quarters. I don't know of any. So I'm suggesting that you probably have the most profitable company over the last 10 quarters. In terms of being consistently, reporting double-digit income and growth and sales. You're that Manitech's the only company out there. So just that's a huge selling point, and we ought to be using it. Okay, any other questions or issues you want to talk about before we go forward with our training today? Anyone? Somebody surely is going to say, what about the stock, Mary Jo? Because everybody wanted to talk about it last week, so hopefully people got my email I sent out. I just, I made a gigantic investment, and I really wasn't going to do that, but I thought it was such a gigantic opportunity, I would have kicked myself all around town. And of course, the stock has already gotten as high as 17.5 last week from a low of 12 or something. So you're going to watch this stock just gradually climb back up, and don't get frustrated if you bought it at 15 or 16, and you go, oh, Mary Jo, it's already dropped. Go ahead. I was just going to say, you have to live with the ebbs and the tides of the stock market, or don't invest, because that's how stock goes. It ebbs and tides, but the value is there, and that's what's most crucial. Okay, what was the question? $500 just opened. There are online training accounts. Some of them, you mean they required $500. They didn't charge you $500. They needed a minimum of $500 to trade. Is that what you're saying? No, most online trading accounts, if you do online trading accounts, there's no charge to set up an account. They just require a minimum transaction. They're not going to let you trade with them unless you have a minimum transaction, which 500 or 1,000 sounds pretty clear to me, some of their minimum transactions. So I would review that and go back. I do most of my trading through brokers. Anyone doing an online trading account? Great. Yeah. Great. Yeah, Scottrade doesn't have a minimum, right. Right. See, so you're just misreading it as a cost instead of a minimum. They just require some minimum investment there, which is very low. I mean, that's very considerably low. So yeah, I have not seen any. There is no published, and when the SEC does an investigation, Scotchy, they publish it, that they're under investigation. There is not any word anywhere that says that SEC is doing any investigation. And what investigation? Are you talking about the guys last week? Yeah. It wasn't insider trading. Yeah. And Barron's, when a third party, all the sales of Manitech stock last week was triggered from the Barron's report. Right. Right, exactly. So, like, Stan Fredericks left $1 million on the table. So, you're going to get upset about that. Yeah, and they don't really sell it at the, you know, Stan wasn't suggesting when he sold it at 23 and 22 that that was a high. He just said it was such a good price that he was, you know, he wanted to liquidate some. And he reported, by the way, at the presidential meetings in January that the reason he sold a block was because for estate planning purposes. Well, Jiminy Christmas, we can't let the guy do some estate planning? You know what I mean? I would have probably sold more than 10%. Right. And I think with the other thing, if you look at Stan Frederick, he cashed out approximately his original investment only. So 100% of his ownership in Manitech today is all profit. You understand? He bought 3 million shares at $1 or 97 cents when he bought out the Fioretti's. He bought like 3.5 million shares at $1. So when he cashed out 300,000 shares, he was getting back his original investment, maybe he spent $5 million or something, but it was pretty much close to what his original investment was in Manitech. So that's another thing a lot of people do. They'll cash out their base investment and then invest the profits on a continuing basis because now they have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. He sold 180,000 shares to Reg McDaniel at $3.45 or something when the stock was trading at 23. And I remember when it was reported around December 23rd, and I sent a card to Sam Castor. When I read it on the internet as a transaction reported by the SEC, I sent a card to Sam saying, what a phenomenal, what a phenomenal gift to make to a man of such incredible background like Reg, because Reg wasn't one of the big internal stockholders. In fact, I don't even think Reg owned any stock, and Sam wanted to share the profitability, in my mind, wanted to share in the immense profitability of the company with one of the founders and the people that were responsible for where Manitech is today. And that's how I look at Reg, and I think that's exactly why Sam did it. But other people said, oh, he's dumping his stock. Well, come on, people, he gave it to Reg McDaniel. It was a gift. It was a multi-million dollar gift to Reg McDaniel, which, what a great heart Sam Castor has. And that was my letter to Sam when I saw that happen. But see, everybody wants to interpret it whatever way they want to. And you can't, that's just the way life is going to be. It's the way the market's going to be, and you just got to go on with life. But the only way that we really, go after these people is by consistently showing the strength of this company. And it's there, and glycobiology is exploding, whether you're a part of it or not. And so it's just a matter of us just all stepping up to make it happen. So anyway, but that's the scoop on the stock. If you want more information, you can always send me an email. I'll be more than happy to respond to you on any issues you might have around it. And everybody kind of knows my position. I think it's a phenomenal investment. I didn't think that you'd ever have, personally, I didn't think you'd ever have the opportunity to buy the stock below $19 again, ever. And that's what this has given to everybody, an opportunity to buy the stock below $19. So if you want to make a good investment, that's up to you. But it's a decision you need to make about, investment in Manitech and your belief system. It just tries your belief system. When you start putting money into something, it's really a test to what you really believe. So that's how you can look at it. Okay, yep. Yeah, it'll be much higher. Typically, stock like this wouldn't split till it got to maybe $50 or $60 a share. Because it's just a matter of keeping the stock that it's easy to buy at a lower price. But you wouldn't see it split at 20 or 30. You'd probably have to go considerably higher than that. A lot of stocks in the marketplace wait till there are three figures. In other words, they wait till they get over 100 and then they split to get back down. Just like Microsoft, Johnson Controls, or a lot of major corporations, when their stock goes over 100, that's when they look at splitting it. Yeah. So, sure, real quick, and then we'll get into the training. Yeah. Okay, let me go back to that whole issue. Dr. Reg McDaniel has a theory that if you take soy lecithin with ambrotosis, increases the absorption of the product and thus the effectiveness. And he's been preaching, well, let me finish this first. He's been preaching and teaching that since, for 4 years. Dr. Bill McAnally totally disagrees with him. He says there's absolutely zero scientific proof that soy lecithin enhances the absorption of ambrotose in the human body. So you got to decide which one you're going to believe and which theory you're going to go with. I would suggest to you that if soy lecithin enhances the body's ability to absorb ambrotose, it's going to also enhance the body's ability to absorb advanced ambrotose. Okay? Okay, great. Yeah, 9 months is okay. 9 months okay. You wouldn't. The only issue around a little baby would be a lot of pediatricians, and I follow their advice, say that since certain parts of the body is not developed at birth, that we stay away from products like Phytolo. Any fruits and vegetables should not be consumed in a baby until they're about 4 to 5 months old, and that's the restriction I get from pediatricians. So, well, he's 9 months old, so he's past the 4 to 5 month. Yeah. Ambertose for sure. Ambertose in the early firstborn baby, oh my gosh, as much Ambertose as you want to give them, because they're getting about 3 tablespoons of Ambertose of mom's milk if you're breastfeeding. Yeah, so you bet. Okay, let's jump in and talk about synergy, law of the universe, habit number 2. I'm continuing on my pathway to help people move out of quadrant E and quadrant S to quadrant B. As you know, that's a pet, project of mine, and I'm just continuing. I need you to be on mute, the person with 2 pieces of sandwich meat. Thank you. Okay, so we're moving from quadrant E and S to quadrant B. That's our whole approach in my upcoming trainings. And the first one was becoming a master asker, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and that was a great call. I got great feedback from some of you. You really appreciated a lot of the issues hit home, and hopefully they will continue to hit home, because transitioning from the E and the S quadrant, the employee and the self-employed quadrant, to the B quadrant is not an easy transition to make, and there's a lot of self-awareness around it on how we need to shift in order to get there. So as we know, the 4 quadrants, and I'll start off each one of these talks about the 4 quadrants, and if you're not familiar with this, make sure you get some of Kiyosaki's books. He describes them in almost all of his books about the 4 quadrants, employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor, 4 quadrants. And each one of them has specific characteristics and specific personality traits, motivational issues surrounding them. Because we don't choose a quadrant subconsciously, we choose it consciously. We're in the employee quadrant because a priority in our life is that we want to make sure we get a check every 2 weeks. We have some concept of security there, may or may not be real, but that's what we perceive. So you can see the different motivations in each one of the quadrants. So to move from E or S to B, which again should be a number one goal of yours if you really want to become an effective network marketer and you want your business to be on a continuous growth path, one of the habits you want to develop would be to develop synergy in all of your relationships. And the successes we will have in our lives are not based on our individual efforts. A lot of people think that, and that's what motivates them in life. They say your success will be based on your individual effort. Well, your individual effort's not going to get you very far. It's only going to get you as far as you can take yourself. It's not going to get you as far as you can leverage, as far as you can create synergy, as far as the universe and the energy out there can take you. And that's what you're leaving out of the picture when you rely exclusively on yourself to make things happen. So our true success, our true abundance in life, in every aspect of life, joy, love, financial, whatever you view as abundance, our true success is going to be achieved through our ability to tap into the energy surrounding us. And one main way to tap into the energy around us is to build synergy in all of our relationships. And this applies to every relationship. It applies to our relationship with our spouse. It applies to our relationship with our children, with our other family members, our church members, our crossline, our downline, our prospects, everyone who we get in contact with. If we can build a synergy around the relationship, we're going to far exceed what we could ever possibly do based on our own efforts. I got a lot of static on the phone. Is everybody hearing that, or is it just me? Okay, *6, remember, people. Okay, so you really want to, as quadrant S people, one of the main characteristics of a quadrant S person, and trust me, I know this only so well because I've spent years and years in quadrant S myself. In quadrant S people, we tend to believe that we can do it better. And if you have that belief system running your life, I'm going to suggest to you that you're going to end up sacrificing a tremendous amount of abundance that you could have if you could move out of that program or that paradigm, I can do it better. So it seems to be one of the main things, and that's why we don't delegate, it's why we don't build synergy, it's why we don't rely on people, it's why we chase people out of our lives instead of attract them to our lives. So there are just many aspects of that attitude about we can do it better. So let's go into and look at what is synergy and what does it mean? Well, synergy, for a lot of you, the concept of synergy is one where you're talking about 1 + 1 = 3. That when you take two people and you can take, one person from one arena and one person from another, that 1 + 1 doesn't always have to add up into 2. And the reason for that is two people applying their talents in an incredible direction can create twice as much, 5 times as much, 10 times as much as either one of them could have completed by themselves. So the synergy is not limited in the multiple that you can create. It's the concept that 1 + 1 can always be greater than 2. And what that greatness is really only dependent upon how effective the people are at developing the synergy between them. So what you want to do is to tap into everyone's strength, and if you can put everyone's strength together in a group, you're going to create incredible amount of synergy instead of, you know, trying to have everybody be their own man and go in their own direction and be independent islands out there. Leverage is an example of synergy because you're leveraging off other people, but it isn't synergy in and of itself. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people think if I just sign up a bunch of people, I'm getting leverage from people and that's creating synergy. And the reality of it is it's not creating synergy, because synergy is really something that's going to be self-sustaining and self-growing. And a lot of people create leverage, but they die in the leverage they create because they don't support it. And they're not doing it they're not doing it in a fashion that's honoring of other people that are around them. So it's important that you look at the philosophy behind synergy so that you handle synergy in the right way, you approach people in the right way. And synergy is setting up relationships to be win-win. And that doesn't always happen in our lives. Some of us are very competitive people, and so what we end up doing is we don't get a control over the competitiveness that we have within us. In other words, we fall into different relationships in our business and our family and arena and all sorts of aspects of our life, and we don't know how to quash that competitiveness. Because we view competitiveness as just who we are. A lot of us have grown up and we were raised being competitive. We might be in sports all our life or something, and we got this phenomenal competitive spirit. So, I mean, you can't even play tiddlywinks with somebody without getting so competitive that, you know, it almost causes hard feelings in a game. And the word game in and of itself tremendously generates a feeling of competitiveness. Just in the name game in and of itself, we start competing immediately, because game just triggers that whole program in our life about winning. And when we think of games and we think about being competitive, so many of us, it's always win-lose. I win, you lose. And we get so competitive about it, because what are we trying to do? Competitiveness is merely, I'm going to win. And it's not bad to win, but the issue is, why does somebody else have to lose? And in most arenas in our life, there doesn't have to be a winner and a loser. I mean, when you look at the Mavericks playing the Phoenix Suns, yes, there had to be a winner and a loser last night. Somebody won the game and somebody lost the game. But in reality, it isn't a win-lose if everything you experience you have in life always produces positive results. What did I learn from the experience? Well, how did I grow? In fact, even when they talked about these incredible sports people like John Wooden, probably some of you know who he is. Anybody on the phone know who Mr. Wooden is by any chance? Absolutely. In fact, the winningest coach ever in college basketball. He won 10 NCAA tournaments, number one, back to back to back to back, or something like, some statistic like that, or pretty darn close. Anyway, so he's acknowledged as the best college coach that ever was out there, John Wooden. And he used to work with his players, and you know what? He didn't care what the score was at the end of a game. He would go in, if they played a bad game and won, he'd go in and he'd just jump all over his players like no tomorrow. Sometimes they played a terrific game and they lost, and he'd go in and he'd acknowledge every single player. Like, what a great game, you guys. We just, you know, they just outplayed us, but we played a great game. He didn't have a problem with losing or winning. He cared about how well they played the game. And there's another one that's out there very much like that. Phil Jackson is very much the same kind of coach. He cares about how well you executed your game plan. And that's what's to be proud of, and that's what's to acknowledge. So you could even take a sporting event and have a win-win. The other team won by the end of the score, but we won in that we played a terrific game. So you could even see how win-win can occur there. But in order to develop synergy in life, you have to build win-win relationships, because you're not going to have a synergistic relationship with somebody who is win-lose. So you have to look at, you know, where can I leave my competitiveness aside? And some of you might be saying, well, Mary Jo, I'm just competitive by nature. I'm going to suggest that's not true. I'm going to suggest that you choose to be competitive, because truly
Everything you do in life is a choice that you make. And is it going to be easy for you to change a habit? No, it's not easy to change habits, but it's when you can be aware of your choice around competitiveness, now you can take a different choice. When you're in a certain environment, you can choose that being competitive is not going to serve you. And I see this a lot in Manitech. And let me bring it home because some of you will get this. I see people in Manitech, in the size of my organization today, I see some of my leaders, sometimes they bring on business builders in their organization and they get competitive with them. It's kind of intriguing to me because it's like, I would want to bring on a business builder that was 10 times the business builder I could be. That would be terrific. Because that's if you understand how network marketing works, anyone underneath you who explodes the business is benefiting you, is it not? Absolutely. So if somebody you bring on board who takes off and really starts excelling, and all of a sudden I see this competition thing arise, and it's like, oh my goodness, what is this about? Because there's truly win-win. When the other person succeeds, you're going to succeed as well. But somehow we have to feel like, well, one-upsmanship, or we can do it better, or, you know, you start undercutting the person because they're looking better than you are. All this stuff, kind of petty stuff, starts flourishing or coming out in people's personalities and their attitudes towards some of their business builders. And it's really a sad thing because what happens is it totally stifles the upline person. I mean, it can actually have a paralyzing effect on the brand new business builder because they feel unsupported. They feel like the person above them is just picking on them, always finding things wrong with them, always questioning their judgment. And it just breeds a lot of animosity, which quashes the synergy. In fact, it makes the synergy incapable of existing because of this competitive attitude. So get out of the competitive in Manitech. You want to compete with somebody in Manitech, compete with yourself. Beat yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to get 10 new signups this month and somehow get to 15 new signups. Now you can be competitive with yourself. It just happened. Somebody put *6. Hello. Yeah, it just was one person. I heard him hit the phone too. Okay, we'll see if we got rid of it. Nope, I'm going to *5 because I don't want the echo going through. Okay, that got rid of the echo and got rid of all the background noise. Okay, so you can see where competition can really play havoc on your growth, on your relationships with people, on your Manitech organization. So be careful on that. Always be excited. Be in acknowledgement mode. Be in a gratitude mode. And you leave that concept of win-lose behind. Because if you start doing win-lose, it'll soon turn out to lose-lose. And that's what I see happening sometimes in the Manitech business. So always be ecstatic about a new business builder. Support them. Don't get jealous. Don't let all those negative emotions show up. Just truly be one of having total gratitude that the Lord's brought somebody like that in your life to help boost your business and boost your growth. So, and when you look at it, I kind of look at the world as we're all one. We're all on the planet together. We're only as strong as our weakest link. So when you look at people in the world, I look at, you know, and I can go as far as looking at Iraq and looking at all these other places, and people argue with me about Iraq from time to time, and they want to take the position, well, you know, it's good they're fighting over there and all the terrorists are over there instead of being in the United States. And I look at them and I just go, why is it any different? To me, there's no difference in those terrorists bombing and destroying women walking the streets of Baghdad as there would be if I'm walking the streets of Grand Prairie, Texas. We're all human beings. We're all trying to raise families, trying to have a life. They just happen to have been born in a different country than I was. So how can we have this kind of they're over there, we're over here? You know, distance creates people's ability to do that kind of and logically argue those kind of issues. But the reality is that we're truly all one. We're all created equal. We're all one people. And we're only as good as our weakest link. And so if we take this attitude towards our Manitech organization, you're going to have, you know, and look at your leaders and look at, okay, who's doing, and try to bolster your weakest link. Work with some of your people that are having the hardest times. And it doesn't matter where they are in your organization. You pick them up and you build them and you work with them and you create the synergy in the relationship that both of you start augmenting and applying your strengths to a given situation and see what you can create out of that. Instead of walking away from people that might, you know, not be as strong as others or, you know, ignoring the situation. We want to make sure that we look at the world as if, hey, we're only as good as our weakest link. Where can I support that to make it grow? Where can I support that the person that's having the trouble? And that's how I like to look at my organization. It's like, okay, who's having trouble? How do I support them? How can I fly out there? Can they find somebody else? Is there another, you know, avenue that they can grow in, and just keep trying to support the people that are out there to do the best they can be, so we don't have to have, you know, organizations crumble or different groups fall apart. Because when you lose, especially when you start building business builders and leaders in your organization, when you start seeing a leader falter, what happens to everybody underneath them? Their whole organization starts to crumble, and now you're losing a lot of people. They're off the mission. They're not getting the help of the glyconutrients. Their health could be failing in many different ways. They've lost the perspective of what this is about, and it's because you didn't support the people there. You didn't build the synergy in the relationship with them. So build win-win. Work with people on win-win. Don't get caught up in petty arguments about who they are, what they're doing. Get involved in how do you support them. How do you make them the best they can be so that you can improve the whole strength of the organization? How do you achieve synergy? So that's what synergy is. I gave you a bunch of different ideas on how to achieve synergy in your organization. One is always looking for someone's strengths and build them into your team. In other words, quit trying to, you know, make everybody be everything to everyone. So look at people's strengths. So you have to go out there and, you know, who's got a strength in prospecting, who's got a strength in presenting, who's got a strength. Look at different people's strengths, because everybody has different gifts and everybody has different, you know, aspects of their personality that serve them in different areas. You might have somebody in your organization who's a real analyst. Well, they might be a great one to be the one that actually trains the compensation plan for your entire organization. So you can build a team, and that's what I love so much. Why do I keep talking about team building throughout my organization? And I don't care if it's cross-line, because sometimes when you go into new areas, you have to rely on cross-line people because you don't have anyone else out there that's in your organization. So you build teams cross-line from each other. And that's a terrific way. When you build that team, you create synergy in that team. Because the four people now are doing 10 times what they could have done if they would have run it individually. And sometimes we don't always see that when we're first building teams. So we look at it and we get caught up in how much time we're spending, and we get frustrated with the teams that we're building. And I hear that a lot. I hear it from a perspective of people developing like Manatech area associations. I try to work with people to help them build and be successful at building Manatech area associations. Because what is building in a Manatech area association? If you have one like the Austin, HATMA in Austin, and you got the one in San Diego, one out in Chicago, one up in Minneapolis, you got all these Colorado, all these places have area Manatech associations. And that is always, if run well and you have people who are committed in that team, you're going to have incredible synergy that exists, because that group is going to create 10 times more than you would have been able to create by yourself. Finally, you got to come to the point that maybe you can do it better, but that's not what this is about. Get out of that S and get into the B quadrant. Get into the win-win, set up the synergistic relationships, and start delegating and letting people, if they flop, who cares? Is that not a learning experience for them? But see, what happens to us a lot of times, we'd start delegating, somebody flops, and we beat up on the people, and then they don't have any self-confidence, so they never try it again. When on the other hand, we should acknowledge them for what they did do. They may not have completed the task, but the next time they will, because maybe they went through a learning experience around that. So you have to be ready and willing to, you know, work with people over time to build a team that really works, instead of getting frustrated and jumping back on the bandwagon, I can do it better. So look for that cross-line team. Look for the, you know, to set up your area association. It's a huge benefit for everybody, and tremendous synergy occurs around Manatech area associations. Develop people into leaders. Do not denigrate them. And that's a real great thing. A lot of times we see people and we put so much time and energy in. And I hear this a lot when I go out in the training field. I'll hear from people in the audience. They'll say, I just wish my people would do what I tell them to do. Wah, 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 wah. And I get I get a lot of complaints about people not doing what they should do, or people not working in our downline or performing like they should work. You know, a lot of our frustration generates from what? Our own expectations. We put expectations on people, and that's what causes us to have frustrations. When in reality, what we need to do is change and shift for our person. Shift where we're coming from. Come from contribution. If you come from contribution, if the people don't show up on the phone call, they don't show up on the phone call. If they don't do this, they don't do that. But if you're coming from contribution, then your concept is always one of giving. As you sow, so shall you reap. And it's not about having great expectations around other people. Let them build their own expectations. Let them build their own business plan. Let them build their own goals. When you start setting goals and business plans and setting criteria for people to meet, is that something they're committed to, or is it something you're committed to for them? Big difference. So when you get somebody else to come up with their own business plan, come up with their own commitment, come up with their own structure of how they're going to do the business, how they're going to perform, then when they don't perform it, it's not about you getting angry or frustrated, is it? Because it's not about you. It's going back to them and saying, okay, this is what you committed to. Is there a reason why you've changed your commitment? And you can work on a level of that way, a very independent third party, instead of allowing your emotions to get totally involved in what's happening and transpiring in the transaction. You want to build people into leaders. Part of being a leader is being accountable to yourself, in addition to having accountability being held to other people in your organization. If you can't help those people from a leadership perspective hold themselves accountable, they're going to have a hard time holding other people accountable. But it's not going to happen by you expressing tremendous frustration, denigrating them, you know, getting frustrated all the time because they're not. Your frustration is generated by your expectation, and just remember that. So support your people, come from contribution. If they're not seeing it, then open their eyes to what they're not seeing and see if they can make better decisions. Maybe they need to change their business plan. Maybe their goals aren't properly set. Those are things you work on with people. But beating up on them is never going to be an effective way of moving people forward. So again, it's not a win-win. It's not about growth. It's not developing people. So when you see people, and other times, and I'm not suggesting that they're always people that you make tremendous commitments to, because some of you guys commit years to people in your organization. They may never want to, if you ever sat down with them and had them build their own expectations of themselves on a business plan or goal setting, you might get a totally different result than what you're getting today, because right now you're the one building their business plan and their goals for them. And then you might find a reality of what your expectation can be of them, because they really don't want to do it as a business. They're really doing it as a hobby. And that'll relieve you of a tremendous amount of frustration, too. So to achieve proper synergy, don't you have to know what the intent is on all the parties involved? Intention is very critical to understand. And you're not going to understand it if you're not there listening to what they say or what they want to do. You're only listening to what you want for them. I love the comment, and I hear it all the time. It's kind of like it applies to Christianity, too. And a lot of people say, you can't want somebody to be a Christian more than they do. That doesn't work. And it's the same way with Manatech. You can't want somebody to be a business builder more than they want it. It's not going to work. But we fall into that trap so many times. And it's that trap that causes us a lot of confusion, a lot of resistance, a lot of, you know, frustration. So we have to be careful on that. So anyway, so be careful on that. There are going to be people in your life, however, that I will tell you are toxic. They're going to be people that are going to be toxic to you. And what is that all about? It's going to be people in your life that are just constantly victims, or they're constantly not good enough, or they have self-esteem issues, and they generate a lot of problems for you. And if that becomes part and parcel of your relationship with these people, where they're constantly bringing up issues, a lot of self-development issues, my suggestion to you is that they're going to drain a tremendous amount of energy from you if you don't help them help themselves. And that doesn't mean you step in and play a psychological role in trying to, you know, make them better people, and you have to, you know, play psychiatrist for 6 months or a year in walking them through self-development. What you want to do is you want to aim them in a direction where they can get the self-development themselves. And that's what I do. I try to get them to Power of Purpose and Clemmer work and all those kind of things so that they can grow as people. And if they continue to refuse to do that, and they want to continue to be whiners and complainers and victims to everything happening in their life, then you're going to have to make some choices for yourself to move away from that environment, because you don't want somebody to be able to rob your passion from you. Your passion is your passion. Don't let other people rob that from you. just because, again, your expectation, you want it more for them than they do. Another way of building synergy is leave behind any thoughts of, I can do it better. Oh, this is so huge. And you know, many of us can do things better than other people in our organization. And I would suggest that for many of you, I would hope you could do them better because you've been doing them for a lot longer. Once you become been in Manitech for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, do you think you can do some things better than people that are brand new or people that have been in the business for a year or two? Absolutely. You should be in a posture where you can do things better because you have more experience around it. But the problem with it is the attitude of, I can do it better. You got to release that attitude. It doesn't matter if you can do things better. You're there to be a support, and you're there to acknowledge. If you're always of the mental state that I can do things better, you're going to quash the excitement, the creativity. You're going to quash people's energy in your organization, because whenever anyone comes up with something, with your attitude of I can do it better, you're always going to say, well, why don't you look at it this way? Or this is the way you should do it. Well, I think you should go this direction instead. And I think you're constantly doing that. You think you're coming from a helpful perspective, but really do some self-examination around that. Are you not coming and listening to people with a lot of judgment and belief system where you're not open to hearing things differently? It's amazing how much we can learn from new people if we just come with an open mind, a beginner's mind, to hear new and different things, new and different ideas from the people around us. You can learn from everyone. It doesn't matter who they are. So you watch out for your language. Well, this is the way I would have done it, or I could have done it better. You know, this constant language that comes around, and I have people in my organization that are exactly that way. And it's really easy to recognize them, because after being in the business for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you can look at their organization, and you're going to find that in their organization, they only have one or maybe zero people, most of the time zero, true business builders in their entire organization. Because if they take the attitude they can always do it better, they're never going to acknowledge or show gratitude or support the people they have. They're going to constantly be pounding, and they don't see it that way, but constantly be pounding on the people around them. And it's too tough for people to take. We can't take the hearing day in and day out, I could do it better, I could, why didn't you do it this way, or this is a better way of looking at it, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and soon people just lose their energy. They have self-doubt. What you're doing is you're totally endorsing any feeling they might have of being, you know, insecure about their own ability to achieve success in Manitech. And you don't see it that way, but that's exactly what you're doing. Instead of acknowledging them, sure, you might be able to do it better, but you know what? The way they're doing it probably has a chance of working, so why don't we just support them in what they're doing? Support them in what they're doing. Support your people in the choices they make. Move forward. You can give a little advice here and there, but watch out when you start taking the control in everything they do. That's when you are meddling, you are denigrating, you are pounding on people, you're supporting their concept somewhere deep down that they can't do it. You're reinforcing it because you can always come up with something better. So watch out for that personality, watch out for that activity, and do whatever you can to just come from beginner's mind and support people in the direction they're doing it. I can do it better as a concept is perhaps the number one philosophy of those stuck in the S quadrant. These are mostly people that are entrepreneurial. The reason they became entrepreneurial and broke out against the, you know, grain, because they couldn't be employees. They found that they fought off their employer because why? They always had better ideas than the person they worked for. So they eventually broke away and became self-employed, you know, and they go into a direction of lawyers, you know, in the medical field. It can be chiropractors, massage therapists, physical therapists, all sorts of people. They can do it better. And that's what caused them to strike out on their own. But the problem is, it's that exact philosophy in the S quadrant that'll freeze you cold in the S quadrant. You will never move from the S quadrant to the B quadrant if you can do it better. So is it worth it for you to shift, see that in yourself and shift to move on? Or are you going to stay stuck because your pride or your own insecurity? And I'm going to suggest to you, a lot of people that I have that I can do it better program, it's their own self-insecurity. That's the problem. They're insecure, so they have to, and their egos need to be stroked, so they do it to themselves by always coming up with, I can do it better. I've done that before. I have more experience. I can do it better. Yikes. Be careful. not the way you want to approach people, and not the way you want to create synergy in an organization. Develop the win-win with everyone in your organization. Again, that's we talked about that earlier. Covey has a huge chapter on 7 Habits of Most Highly Effective People around synergy, which talks about win-win and other areas. But he also talks about that every single relationship that you have that's an important relationship to you should be like a bank account. The more deposits you make in these accounts, the stronger these associations become and the greater results are affected. So it's about contribution. Think about that. Isn't that what deposits are in a bank account? They're contributions to the bank account. And that's what we need to be making. And that doesn't mean contributions that look like, this is the way I would have done it, why don't you do it this way? That's not a contribution. A contribution is, great idea, how can I support you in implementing it? That's a different language. Instead of, this is how you should do it, instead of the way you want to do it. You get it? Contribution. Great idea. Have gratitude. Have acknowledgement. How can I support you? Let them take a leadership role. Create the synergy in the relationship. Give and take. As you sow, so shall you weep. Sometimes we need to give to people to help their growth. And again, we went through this too. Always step up and create a win-win in your organization, no matter how much the depth of that organization is. I see a lot of people who say, well, you've got 6 other presidentials between me and you. Why don't you get them to help you? And they hang out. They won't work with people. Wrong. Synergy exists between you and people at 20 levels below you. So it doesn't matter where they are in your organization. Teach your people to fish to be a great leader. There's a great book out there, Teach Your Team to Fish by Lori Beth Jones. And it's all about taking biblical principles and teaching your team based on biblical principles. I just love the book and I highly recommend it if you want to get it. It's a great one. I kind of said, what if Jesus said, I can do it better? Where would the disciples be today? I mean, it's just a fascinating concept to think about. Surround yourself with greatness. That's another important characteristic of people who want to create inner synergy. Those who move in the B quadrant are not intimidated by greatness around them. They love to find incredibly powerful people. They look at it differently. Powerful people mean to them more delegation and less work for them. Insecure people from the S quadrant fear that someone might be better, so they work harder. Quadrant E people tend to fear replacement. Oh, somebody better than me, I'm going to get replaced. They right away flee into insecurity. So you see how the thinking differs depending on what quadrant you're in. Quadrant B people absolutely thrive on finding very powerful people to surround themselves with. So that's something you want to look for, surrounding yourself with very powerful people. Delegate and you will create. Yeah, delegation is very incredible and important in creating synergy. Those in the S quadrant tend to keep the prime task for themselves. This only limits their ability to move on. No leverage at all in doing it yourself, but if you can do it better, again, is the program running your life, what choices have you given yourself? So as we saw it manifest, just stop it. You want to make sure that you continue making good choices of delegating to other people. And I put in the outline 10 fundamental principles of delegation that came out one of the books I was reading. So you might want to look at that and see how you can apply those 10 fundamental principles in different mechanisms in your organization on delegation. Delegation is incredibly empowering to people. It gives them a sense of need, a sense of security that they can do it, and you're going to have tremendous synergy when delegation occurs. That means instead of you doing all the exerting all of your energy, other people are working together on a team. And the last element I built in the outline was kind of about mastermind teams. And I don't know if you're familiar with mastermind teams. You can find it written up in Covey's book, 7 Habits of Most Highly Effective People, and Power of Focus book. It's in there, mastermind. I think mastermind teams is perhaps one of the most effective mechanisms of truly building phenomenal synergy. And you should read some of that and read about those. And maybe in one of my Monday calls, I'll teach how to structure a mastermind team so you can build one yourself among a group of people if you'd like to take that extra step. Because I can tell you the phenomenal aspects of masterminding, when you really bring all this energy of the force of the people involved in the mastermind group forward in moving you forward in your life, is incredible. There's so much, and that's what it is. It's synergy. It's a synergy of the group drawing upon the energy in the universe to create incredible things that happen in people's lives, and an incredible sense of accountability and moving forward in your life to feel like you're really making a difference in the direction you're going. So I'm going to hit *5. Welcome everybody back to the call. And anyway, do we still have the echo? I can hear that. But do we have any comments? Any of these principles apply in your life where you can see? Hello. Uh-huh.
You bet. And that's the issue. When you start using insider information that you have and the public doesn't have, that's when it starts being illegal. Right. So, but the Barron's report coming out last week was public information. So anyone trading based on that would not be involved in insider trading, right? Or illegal insider trading. Right, right. Thanks for the clarity. Great. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They could never do it good enough. But you bet. Absolute. Are we off? I could always do it. Great comment. Okay, baby cakes. I made it. So there is no such thing. If Barron's reports something publicly, there's not a restriction on any insider's trading stock. You get it? Insider trading is when you take inside information that you know about of the company and you go trade based on the inside information when you have more information than the public has. Well, the Barron's report, the public had. So if an officer of Mantech chose to sell based on the Barron's report, they can choose to do that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Right. By any inside officer or director of Mantech, right? Well, when you look at the people selling them, you're looking at people like Stan Frederick, who owns 3,500,000 shares, and he sold 300,000. He sold less than 10% of his ownership. Now, if he were really nervous about Mantech, why wouldn't he sell 50% or 70%? Yeah. Exactly. All the time, especially when a stock goes on a run from $1 to 26. I mean, it might be a good time to cash out some of that you've invested. I mean, you're right. Right. Right.